865-255-0303. Iris Networks Hotline, 90 days, no payment for business internet, irisnetworksusa.com. Oh, boy, what a... What a weekend for Tennessee fans.
Was not fun. Saturday was not a good sports day at all. At all. Basketball team lost. Baseball team struggled. Couldn't hit with runners in scoring position in game one. And then in game two, pitching struggled and had to even up the series with Indiana State on Sunday. And Indiana State has a good ball club. They'll be a really good team in their conference. But Tennessee just shot themselves in the foot. Just did not play clean baseball. Did get the win on Sunday, though, to even up the series. And even though they won, their best pitcher got hurt, dealing with a hamstring injury. And they don't know the full extent of the injury, but doesn't sound like he'll be available the next week or two. Jackson Leith, that is. So not great news that your pitcher, your best pitcher, has to leave with an injury. So just it's not a good weekend outside of the Lady Vols. And kudos to the baseball team for bouncing back and at least splitting with Indiana State this weekend. It would have been easy to just kind of fold and mail it in for the weekend. But they fought back, came out swinging on Sunday, had three runs in the first inning, did blow the lead late in the game. So it was 5-5 going into extras, but shouts out to them for pulling off the win. They have a big series coming up this weekend against Georgia State. Georgia State, a very good baseball team. So that'll be a tough challenge next weekend. At least we don't have to worry about Tennessee basketball ruining one of our nights this week. It'll just ruin our Sunday when it takes on Florida.
Yeah, Florida beat Kentucky, man. Had a Trey Mann took over. Castleton was a problem down the post. He's gonna eat our lunch.
Maybe the week off will change everything, Swain. Maybe they'll just flip the switch, take over.
Brad did mention this. I don't know how much it makes me feel any better, but Georgia State beat Vanderbilt in baseball.
Georgia State's got a good ball team. Tennessee better be ready to play next weekend, or Georgia State will take their lunch as well.
Tennessee, and Don called in and mentioned this, that Tennessee did extend an offer to quarterbacks. Drew Aller, looks like how you pronounce it, from Medina, Ohio, 6'5", 230. Tennessee did extend an offer to him. Cade Martin, the son of T. Martin, very Knox Catholic, baseball, football, dual sport athlete, is going to make his announcement on the 3rd.
Wednesday.
And he's picking between Arizona State, Miami, Oregon, and Tennessee. And
four interesting choices.
I thought T. Martin was going to go to Arizona State to be receiver coach.
So you think that's where Caden goes?
I don't know. I thought that T. would go to Arizona State. When I put two and two together, I saw that Arizona State was one of his top schools. I thought it made sense for him to go to a place where T. will go to and be the coach. And maybe T does that after a year in the NFL. But remember, T was linked to Miami before he came to Tennessee as a potential offense coordinator. I don't know if you remember that. T was very successful on the West Coast recruiting. So, you know, Oregon would definitely benefit from a T Martin. So it just, you know, the three out of the four finalists for Cade Martin have the opportunity to possibly bring in T. Martin and have Caden there too. So that's why I put two and two together. This is just awkward to me.
But Mama's going to be in Knoxville, I assume.
I don't know.
I'm assuming, but I would be kind of surprised if the whole family moved up to Baltimore just because you don't know how long T's going to be there.
Well, I mean, yeah, Mama's going to be here. Caden is finishing his last year. Yeah, yeah. I mean, Caden is where he needs to be. He's at Catholic. It's a great school, great program. They put a lot of resources into winning and giving the athletes everything they need to be successful. Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that Caden is staying here, not going to Baltimore. You know, develop some friendships there. He's going to be a senior. Yeah, man. Just
well, and I was mentioning it in relation to one of the four schools he's going to pick from. One of the four schools is in Knoxville. Mama is going to be in Knoxville. And I would encourage people to view this through the lens of Caden, the baseball player. I speculate that this will be more of a baseball decision than a football decision. And maybe I'm wrong on that. Maybe he'll lean with the football program over the baseball program, but I would encourage folks, maybe I shouldn't encourage since I'm speculating. I am speculating that he is viewing this as more of a baseball decision than a football decision, just because he is a better baseball player than he is a quarterback, and he has a better shot at being a professional baseball player than a professional football player. He may get drafted out of high school next year, and he's probably the top baseball player in the state of Tennessee. So, and it just has always felt, Swain, like baseball was more the priority than playing quarterback at the college level. So personally, just kind of piecing the puzzle pieces together again.
There you go.
I think this will be more of a baseball decision, which helps Tennessee.
It's just weird.
Now, Miami and Arizona State do have really good baseball programs. Arizona State just had the number one overall pick in the draft, and Miami is top 20, top 15 baseball program right now. Upset number one Florida last week. So and Oregon's got a good baseball program. I guess I'm just not taking Oregon seriously because it's all the way out on the West Coast. I know Arizona State is too, and Miami's not close, but Oregon just seems so much further away. I'll be curious to see where he goes.
It's just weird. It's just weird. Why is it weird? Let me explain. And I'm going to take it back. In 2013, when Butch Jones had an opportunity to hire T. Martin, T. Martin comes and it's not your normal, hey, let's kick the tires on the assistant coach, let's see what's going on, let's have a conversation. It was public. You know, there's like cameras interviewing T in the airport. And when he didn't come, it set T up to be a target without people knowing. Man, Tennessee didn't offer T enough. Butch Jones and company lowballed T Martin. Of course, he wanted to come, but couldn't. They lowballed him, so he didn't come. But making it public that he was looking at Tennessee, even though, you know, you got kids here in Knoxville, and the fact that he was interviewing at the airport and all this stuff, it kind of built the excitement for him coming back. When he didn't, no one thought to blame Butch Jones. They just pointed fingers at T. Then T gets here and approve it. The receivers play well last year. This year they did not. Then the whole thing with the NCAA and Pruitt and the staff not being on the same page. And then, you know, you understand that T was promised, you know, something that could not be followed through on because the promise came from Coach Former. Coach Fulmer was, you know, kind of probably pushed to retire. And so there's no way for that promise to go through because you got a new coach. You got a new coach. So that divorce was kind of messy. But then Danny White, Chancellor Plowman, you know, they do a good job of making the best of the situation. T's exit interview with Athletic. He doesn't say anything bad about Tennessee. It's handled. It's handled the right way. Now, one day after one of Tennessee's top quarterback targets commits to an SEC program, and then 2 days after the top Tennessee in-state quarterback target commits to an SEC program, the rival, Caden Martin, comes out, and he is going to announce his decision on a Wednesday. It's just all weird to me.
Tennessee needs his quarterback.
It's just all weird. I mean, do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand why this is weird to me?
Yes. The Sam Horn, Ty Simpson thing doesn't make it as weird. What makes it weird to me is just the whole T. Martin situation in general.
The whole timeline is weird to me.
Yeah. This is the price of digging deep enough to fire your head football coach. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as that. This is all a product of Tennessee firing Jeremy Pruitt. I'm not saying they made the wrong decision, the right decision.
They had to.
They had to. But if Jeremy Pruitt was winning, the shovel would not have been as big. It would not have. And the information probably would have come out eventually, whether it was Tennessee digging on Jeremy Pruitt or the NCAA or something else. It all would have come out at some point. But right now, it would have come out after you had Ty Simpson. It would have come out after Eric Gray graduated or moved on to the NFL, things of that nature. So, you know, from a football perspective, Jeremy Pruitt's job definitely should have been in question, because even just simply football, the football team took a massive step back this year in terms of results and quality on the field. And then you kind of look at the locker room dynamic and the coaching staff dynamic. It was a complete cluster. So Jeremy Pruitt was on his way to being fired for production on the football field. But it was expedited by Tennessee digging with a bigger shovel than it needed to. I mean, this is the price that you pay for firing Jeremy Pruitt. Whether it was right or wrong, this is the unfortunate result of that situation. You don't get Ty Simpson. It's going to take a miracle to flip Sam Horn.
Please, folks.
The situation with T. Martin.
Please, folks, don't do this to yourself. Don't tell yourself that Tennessee shouldn't have fired Pruitt just because Ty Simpson didn't come to Tennessee. Don't do that.
Because at the rate that the culture was going, it would not have mattered if Ty Simpson was at Tennessee. Ty Simpson would not have flourished under Jeremy Pruitt. I fully believe that. Not because of Ty Simpson, but because of who he was playing for and the culture that was instilled, which makes it so frustrating that he was willing to play for Jeremy Pruitt and that sack of garbage, the football program, Jeremy Pruitt's football program, not calling Jeremy Pruitt a sack of garbage, but he was willing to play for that mess, yet he wouldn't even truly give Josh Heupel a chance.
Yeah, because Josh Heupel probably wasn't entertaining bringing Dad in. Now, the more I think about it, the more that makes sense.
Yeah, for sure. But don't sit here and act like you just grew up some diehard Tennessee fan, yet you're not even willing to give a new coach a true listen.
What do you mean? You mean you don't believe him?
No, not really. Not in hindsight. To not listen, like not to truly listen.
He did listen.
Yeah.
He didn't listen. He just didn't listen for long because he was put in a position.
He didn't truly listen then.
He did listen.
Not truly.
What's truly?
It seems like he listened to Josh Heupel out of courtesy. Not going into the conversation looking to hear him out. To me, that is not truly listening.
Are you talking about one conversation or multiple?
Multiple.
Okay, so you have Alabama and you have Clemson who are like, hey, man, we need to know or we're moving on. And if we move on, we're not looking back. So you have to add that part of it in there. And so Ty could have just made his announcement without the whole set up at a school. I think Ty Simpson can be a Tennessee fan, grow up as a Tennessee fan, and still be like, hey, man, this is best for my future. And still gave Heupel an opportunity, but he was about to miss the boat.
I get that aspect.
He's about to get passed up.
I get that.
And so, you have to add that in, too. I'm not going to try to invalidate. I don't know if I use that word right. I'm not going to try to take away from him being a lifetime Tennessee fan. I'm not going to sit here and say I don't believe him just because he didn't pick Tennessee. Because I don't think that's fair. Or we know that.
I don't either. I wasn't trying to communicate that in terms of like picking. I don't blame him at all for going to Alabama or Clemson given the current circumstance. But it seems like he didn't give Josh Heupel the time of day. And then
he did.
It doesn't feel like it.
But when was Josh Heupel hired? Josh Heupel was hired weeks ago. And Ty's been pressured by Alabama and Clemson for months. He's been pressured. And Ty had tried to string this thing as long as he could. And I'm not going to sit here and say that Ty, handled everything perfectly and with Tennessee. Because there's not a way to handle things perfectly when you have three schools that all want you and two of them have won, six, seven national championships in the last decade or so, whatever. And they're saying, hey, we need no answer now. There's going to be somebody that have their feathers ruffled. I'm pretty sure Clemson is upset too. Ty could be a Tennessee fan and gave Heupel an opportunity, but he didn't have a choice but to make a pick at this moment, at the end of February, because Clemson and Alabama was about to leave him. They were about to move on. So if you're Ty Simpson, what do you do? Honestly, let's put ourselves in Ty Simpson's shoes. What have you done differently?
Gone to Tennessee.
Without thinking with your heart.
Mm-hmm. It feels to me like he let Tennessee on at the end. That's just how I perceive the situation. I may be wrong, but that's my perception.
I'm sure he did. And remember last week, I was like, if you truly want to preserve your announcement, you either don't tell the team that you're not going to, that you're not coming. You make everyone feel like that you're going there. If you're really trying to preserve your announcement. If not, people are going to know where you're going before you even announce it. So why even have an assembly? Why even have an announcement? Why even do that if people are going to know anyway? People dropping crystal balls here and there and there. So if you really want to have your announcement, your time, your day, if you really want to have that, you're going to piss off other schools because you have to keep them in the dark. You have to. You have to do that. Because the moment that you're Jerry Garantano and you think you're doing what's right by telling Ohio State, hey, I'm picking Tennessee, and then Ohio State leaks it out before you announce, your announcement is screwed. Ohio State stole your moment. And that's what happens. It happens that way. So I'm just trying to give you a little something, a different angle to think about for those that question Ty Simpson's, you know, childhood favorite team. It could be his childhood favorite team, and he had no choice but to pick a school at that very moment, and he was afraid of getting left. Because when they leave you, when the bus leaves, they're not turning around. I'm not supporting them. So I can't find it in my heart to support you. Yeah, man, I don't know you, and I hate Alabama.
Yeah, you're going to Alabama.
I'm not supporting you, young man. You're talking to the people in Martin. I'm not going to support you, but I will defend you to folks that question how much you grew up as a Tennessee fan. Now, Vaughn Birmingham makes a good point. I wouldn't have went on Tennessee radio. I would have taken Tennessee out of consideration and just out of the consideration, just so I want embarrassing them on my commitment day. I would have just had Clemson, Alabama hats on the table because that is who I was considering. Yes, the three-hour lunch interview.
Which he's doing again today.
Doing again today with Ron Slay. Now, he did say he made his decision the night before, which I don't know, man. I've heard stories about him being a solid commit to Alabama for a while. But he said that he made the decision the night before. Now, if he made the decision the night before, I'm okay with the 104.5 interview. But if the decision was made before the 105 interview and you got on there and you said what you said, yeah, I ain't feeling that one. I ain't feeling that.
And that's my point. Like, I don't understand how you could, if that is the case, how could you treat the team you grew up liking like that?
If you made the decision the night before.
Yes.
But again, you don't know that. We don't know.
Correct. That's why I said if that was the case to your scenario that you threw out there, that if he had previously committed silently and then he goes on and strings Tennessee along, I don't know how you could do that to the team you supposedly grew up liking.
Agree. I couldn't do that. But
I understand him going to Alabama. It is the correct business decision. We as fans cannot sit here and get mad at Tennessee ourselves and dog cuss Tennessee ourselves and talk about how bad we've been and how stupid our decision making is and then act surprised when a kid doesn't want to come here, especially when Alabama's in the equation, or get upset with a kid for not coming here and going to a school like Alabama when we recognize the dysfunction of Tennessee. It's hypocritical of us.
Yeah. If there's one,
so I understand the business decision. I'm not questioning that at all. Quite frankly, probably made the right decision, as painful as that is to say.
If you want to put your energy in somebody and be mad at somebody, it's Jeremy Pruitt.
Yes, he cost us Ty Simpson. Yeah. Jeremy Pruitt cost Tennessee Ty Simpson. Now, I'm sure he's smiling today because he ended up going to the school that he wanted him to go to all along. You know, Jeremy Pruitt already has a number 6 Alabama Ty Simpson jersey ordered. I bet he's wearing it in the Giants complex right now.
Ty Simpson. I know Alabama fans see Pruitt as a great soldier.
Yep, they do.
Because
I never hear the end of it.
Yeah, man, he went to the enemy
and made him worse
and blew it up, man.
Which is remarkable after Butch Jones blew it up.
I'm going to go to the phones.
We've got Volstorm.
Volstorm, good morning.
Y'all done with your rant, or you need another couple of minutes?
Oh, ain't no rant. Just chit-chatting. I know you got a rant.
Chit-chatting.
Just chit-chatting.
Chit-chatting on a swing.
Not me. I don't do that. I just bring up, you know, facts.
What's the facts?
Fact of the matter is that Ty Simpson made the absolute best decision for Ty Simpson.
He did.
You're going to a school where you're going to get a lot of prestige, where you're going to get noticed, where there have been plenty of NFL players come out of there. That was the best business decision he could possibly make.
Correct.
The problem is, when you get on Nashville radio and you basically try to pump up Tennessee, and then you have this big, you had this big announcement in the middle of your hometown, knowing that it's surrounded by Tennessee fans. And I understand a kid wanting all the attention on them, but when you kind of go out of your way to, let's say, troll Tennessee fans, that's a bit much.
Yeah. If he knew that he was going to Bama before the announcement.
Yeah, that
you cannot tell me that he made that decision the night before. You cannot tell me that. I do not believe it.
I don't either. If I had to pick whether he knew the night before or he knew well before, and I couldn't, be in the middle of the road, I had to pick one side, I would pick that he knew well before.
Yep. Yeah.
And he was at least leaning to Alabama.
Yep.
He could have made the final decision the night before, but it was probably already a decision before he, quote, made the final decision, before he sat down at the dinner table and kind of talked through it with his parents. He was already leaning a particular way.
Because one thing I have a hard time with is I have a hard time believing that he was going to come here even if Pruitt was here.
It's funny because, when Pruitt was here, and this is before I even, started, the possibility of his dad joining the staff could happen.
Right.
I was thinking to myself, I was like, man, they gotta bring his dad on. They gotta bring his dad on. And I said this was on the show well before that was possible. That possibly could be a thing. And that would have been a different dynamic too, especially if he was a quarterback's coach. He needed to be like a different coach, different position, because that would have been very weird for the other quarterbacks in that room. But I'm starting to believe that was real, because why in the heck would Ty Simpson want to come being an offensive Jim Chaney while Pruitt is micromanaging him after seeing what happened the last 2 years the last 3 years with the offense? Why would Ty Simpson want to sign up for that? Well, because it had to be something else. It had to be another part of the equation. Had to be. Mark from Norris says, Ty said in an interview at the committee that he knew 1st of February.
Right.
So
I saw that quote too.
Which one is it?
That's what he told the Bama folks who interviewed him afterwards, which if it was the beginning of February, he went on Nashville radio and hyped up Tennessee, acted like Tennessee had a legitimate chance, acted like he was still talking with Tennessee, knowing that he was going to Alabama.
So if that's the case, then I'm looking at Jason Simpson going, really? Really? Really, coach? Really? I expect this from a recruit that's never been through this process before. Maybe there's not a father figure in the house. Don't know how to handle the situation. But I'm surprised that this happened the way it happened, when you have a division I won't say Division One. A college football head coach
that deals with recruiting on a daily basis.
How did you allow for your son to contradict himself, get on national radio, and say those things while being or while citing being a Tennessee fan growing up? The support system. Y'all did not handle this right, Ty Simpson. Because we all can agree, Volstorm, Ben, myself, we can all agree that, you know, the business move is Alabama, right?
Mm-hmm.
Go Alabama. But don't get on national radio talking about, you know, all this, all that. Don't say that you didn't know until the night before and then say to someone else that you knew in February. That's the problem.
And that's
the problem.
That's when you know people are lying. That's the problem. When their stories are different to different people.
Yep, that's the problem. That's the problem. So I'm not, honestly, I'm not even like disappointed in Ty, because Ty's 17, 18 years old, man. How'd y'all let him do this? Support system? Head coach, dad? How did y'all let this happen? All you had to do is just shut up and make an announcement and go to Alabama. But this is what happens when you want the attention. So you wanted the attention, because your son deserved the attention. Don't get me wrong, he deserved the attention. But when you want the attention, this is what can go wrong. And it went wrong. It went wrong, man. Conflicting stories. Not a good look. Sorry, Volstorm. That was a rant. My bad, Volstorm.
Is Volstorm still there?
Sorry about that, Volstorm.
Volstorm. Did you mute yourself?
My bad, Volstorm.
He must be traveling to West End to meet his new head football coach, Clark Lee. He must be running out of service.
So yeah, I was unaware of the comments he made to Alabama site. If he knew in February, or was he just trying to say that to sound good in front of the Alabama folks? But it don't matter. You know, you be true to who yourself to yourself, and you say what you mean what you say. You don't say things to try to impress who you're talking to. And if you say what you mean what you say, you don't find yourself in this situation. He didn't do that. And the support staff failed him. Very surprising. Very surprising when you have a head coach as a father, college program. Very surprised that this happened like this. Very surprising.
See if I can find the quotes here for you. It was written by the Tuscaloosa News. I'll try to find it for you.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, if he made those comments to the Alabama media, I understand why he's getting the backlash that he's getting.
TideSports.com. These were the quotes. Let me answer the phone first.
Better not be Volstorm, man. He should have said something when we told him to. He interrupting your quote. Can't believe it, man. Can't believe it. Dad's a head coach.
Mm-mm-mm. Ty said, it really came down to player development and finding the right fit for me, from being ready for the NFL with Bill O'Brien and Nick Saban. Being there every day, being there with those guys will make me a better player.
Cool, yeah.
It feels great to say blankety blank and know you're going to one of the top programs in the nation.
Okay.
Talking to Nick Saban every day this week was awesome, and I want to play for him. Seeing that emotion from the greatest college football coach ever is pretty awesome.
Okay.
He thought through things thoroughly. But at the end of the day, he wanted to play in the SEC. This is what Jason Simpson said, specifically the SEC West and win a national championship. I told him to go through what is important to him, not me, and I told him not to get strayed with fans talking to one player or one coach. Ty said, I went through every scenario, but in the end, I felt like the best scenario for me was Alabama. Okay. I went to bed with one school in my mind, but I woke up and felt like Alabama was the best place for me. I didn't have, this was his coach. I didn't have as near an intense of a recruiting process as he did, but I told him what I thought. So this particular article does not say one way or the other.
Yeah, I need to see that or hear or see those comments about him knowing in February he's going to Alabama. But Tennessee now has to find themselves a 2022 quarterback. It don't matter how many quarterbacks they have on the roster. It don't matter. They need a 2022 quarterback. Heupel needs his quarterback. That does not mean that Salter won't be the guy. Hooker won't be the guy. Bailey won't be the guy. Maurer won't be the guy. It does not mean that because they could be the guy. Lane Kiffin brought in Bryce Brown. That was his guy, but Montario was better. But the last thing we need is to look up, and in 2 years, that was the case with the previous regime. 2 years, the offensive coordinator or the person responsible for the offense did not have a quarterback that he handpicked going into his second year. Jim Chaney did not have a quarterback that he handpicked. That cannot happen with Josh Heupel. He's an offensive guy, him and the offensive coordinator. They must get a quarterback that they handpick in this class. And again, I reiterate, does not mean that he's going to have the advantage over the quarterbacks or is going to be the guy over the quarterbacks that we currently have. But I don't want to hear nothing 2 years from now like we did Jim Chaney. Like, oh, man. Jim Chaney don't even have his guy. He don't even have a guy that he recruited. He's a second year as offensive coordinator. He don't even have a guy that he recruited. That's not what we need. So, can somebody find that quote where he said, Todd Simpson said that he knew in February?
Said it was a CBS article. I'm looking for it now.
Because that's very, very important to my to how I feel, in my opinion.
Well, the true indication that Ty Simpson knew he was going to Alabama is the fact that he got the 5-star bump before he actually committed.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. So, do I think Ty Simpson knew night before? Yes, but if he said he only knew the night before, I'll take his word for it. I can have my opinion, but I'll take his word for it. Unless there is a statement made by him. All right, I'm moving on.
Good. I'm tired of Ty Simpson.
I'm moving on, man. I'm moving on. Oh, SCVFL tweeted the story at me, so let me check it out. Maybe we have it. Oh!
That was a rival story, not a...
On February 1, I knew it was Bama for me. This is what he said to Chad Simmons of Rivals.
He went on Nashville radio well after that.
So, my stance on Ty's support system, that I stand by it.
Ty Simpson went on Nashville radio. That's January. February 12th.
There it is. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
each day, Swain Event TV. Like us on Facebook.
More and more Tennessee businesses are switching to Iris Networks for reliable, local, high-quality, high-speed business fiber internet. Iris provides direct internet access from 10 megs to 10 gigs with no payments for 90 days. Iris also offers next-generation business phones with work-from-anywhere capability from the mobile or laptop app. With local sales, support, and service, Iris is a partner in the community. Learn more at irisnetworkusa.com or call 865-448-IRIS. Iris Networks, a Tennessee business connecting Tennessee businesses.
Voted best barbecue in City View Magazine and a top 100 barbecue restaurant in the country, Dead End is a no-brainer when you are craving the smoky flavor of Quality Q. Dead End makes it easy to enjoy their fantastic menu with online ordering and local delivery with Valet Gourmet. That's right, you can have Dead End brought to you. Can't think of the spread for your next event? Get Dead End to cater it. Check them out online, deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue, the search is over.
With smartphones being such an integral part of our daily lives, it is truly an inconvenience when it doesn't work properly. It disrupts the normalcy of our day. When you go into the cell phone store to have it repaired, they just try to upsell you on a new phone. That's why the owner of iDrop, T. Kale, left those places and opened iDrop. His goal is a happy customer. T. Kale and the team will listen to what you have going on and work to solve the problem of your broken device in a way that best suits your needs. Instead of trying to upsell you on something that you just don't need. They don't just repair phones. They can service your laptop or PC as well as your Mac. Windows 7 support is over, but iDrop can help you transition to Windows 10. They have a 5-star rating on Google with hundreds of positive reviews. Let me say that again. I don't think y'all understand how big this is. They have a 5-star rating on Google. Their customer service really speaks for itself. So if you ever find yourself with a device that isn't performing as it should, give iDrop a call at 865-888-9740 or check them out on Facebook at iDrop of Knoxville. If man made it, they can fix it.
Home service problems occur even at the most inconvenient times, like during a health crisis. And Hiller is always here to help you 24/7. As people are social distancing and staying at home on workdays, it's an easier time to take care of home maintenance items that you feel are necessary. And we've put new safety precautions in place, like wearing gloves, avoiding physical contact, new sanitation protocols, and limiting time in your home. We're here for you.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Hour 3 of the Swain Event is brought to you by the Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Do you know your numbers? Feel like you again. Let us help.
Swain Event Fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Hour 3 is powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Reinventing men's healthcare. Tennessee, Florida, man.
It's not for another week. Do we have to talk about it right now?
We'll have to if you don't want to.
I don't want to. I don't know what else we're going to talk about.
You can't avoid it.
But I don't want to talk. I can avoid it until the end of the week, at least.
I'd rather talk. Tennessee can fix whatever's going on in the week? That's enough time. Guys are healed. Enough time to take a step back.
So to you, the issue is leadership.
It's one of the issues.
What do you think is the biggest issue? Leadership?
The biggest.
You think that is affecting how they perform?
I see what you're getting. I don't think the biggest issue can be fixed in a week. I see where you're going.
Well, I think the biggest issue can be fixed in a week, depending on what the issue is. This is one of those issues that cannot be fixed within a week.
Well, focusing on pawns, they're just not they're not fire breathing dragons.
Did you agree with what I was saying earlier? During touchdown or turnover, that the bigger issue with Folky and Pons is that they're not playing, especially Folky. Folky's not playing to the level that he is capable of. If he was, then the need for leadership wouldn't be as dire from him personally. It would kind of be taking care of itself.
No, I don't agree. Because I think with leadership, and we've seen this. I got a perfect example for you, my friend. There was times that Adam Schofield couldn't make shots, that he didn't play well. There was times that Grant Williams didn't drop 20. But the team found a way. Other guys stepped up. They found other ways to help the basketball team. They still had a purpose. You can struggle, man. Basketball, man, sometimes you have the perfect stroke, but it's going to hit every – the ball's going to hit every part of the rim and not go in. It happens. If the leadership was where it needed to be, we wouldn't look lost. We wouldn't go through stretches where you have 3 or 4 turnovers in a row and you don't see anybody talking to each other. Like, I don't even see guys talking to each other. So, if the leadership was there, even when one guy is struggling, you want to pick that player up by doing other things right, playing a certain type of way. There's known roles. Everyone plays their role. We don't have any known roles. Jaden's like, well, I guess I just go do it then. Keon's like, well, I guess I got to go do it. So, like, I think you make a good point. I just don't agree with it. I do think that if this team had leadership, better leadership from upperclassmen, that even when guys struggle, this team would be outside the top 25 like they are right now.
I just don't know that Fulkerson could lead effectively even if he still had that personality. Well, I'm saying if he had the personality to lead, but was also struggling the way that he has this season, I think it would be hard for some of the other guys on the team to take him seriously because they see him doing what he's doing on the floor, and yeah, he's still trying to bark out orders and trying to lead the way. I think it would be hard in that. Because then you're not leading by example. You may have the right mindset of a leader, but your play is not leading by example. Would you agree that you kind of have to have both?
If you are struggling if you're going through a slump, because we go through slumps. Mm-hmm. If you're going through a slump and you're a leader, you still lead. I mean, Kurt Magid was hurt and was still a leader. He was not even playing. And was making an impact on the sideline. You either a leader or you're not. And so you're not a real leader if you can only say something when you're playing at the top of your game. You can only hold guys accountable when you're playing at the top of the game. As long as you're playing hard, doing everything right, practicing hard, things like that, if you're struggling in the games, you still should be able to lead your troops. But he's not saying anything when he's struggling because he's not a leader. It's not in him. And you don't lead when things are just going good, when you're playing well. You lead even when you're not playing well. Because you cannot play well on one side of the court. That has nothing to do with your rebounding. Rebounding is effort. Defense is effort. You can impact the game in other ways. You can be a great screener. Screening is effort. Concentration. You don't have to score the ball to impact. Dude, look at Draymond Green. Dude has had more assists than points in the last couple of games. The brother had 19 assists. He's not even scoring like that. But his impact is so strong. He's a leader. And when the shots are not falling, he finds other ways to impact. He finds other ways to lead his troops. And that's what Folky doesn't do. It's not in him. He's a good kid. I ain't gonna say anything about his character. It's just not in him.
Well, then, no. I don't think Tennessee's issues can get fixed in a week because I think that is the root of all the problems. Like, yes, they're not running offensive sets correctly. Yes, they may have a breakdown defensively. They may not make open shots. They don't rebound well enough. And to me, it all goes back to that. And that cannot be fixed within a week. It can't. It cannot be fixed within a week. So I think even if John Fulkerson gets hot and finishes the season on a strong note and leads Tennessee to a Sweet 16 run, Elite 8 run like Josh Richardson did that last year at Conzo, like leadership is still going to be an issue. Like even if he's playing well, leadership will still be an issue with this team. Yep. It just is what it is at this point. Yep. And it's affecting everything else. So that's why I don't think it can be fixed within a week.
Leadership is like, you know, bad breaks. Like you try to get to point A to point B, you know you got bad breaks. You just hope that the breaks don't go out before you get to point B. You may get to point B. You may get to where you want to go. But it's not because things are fixed. So Tennessee may get to the second round of the tournament. They may get to the Sweet 16. If the matchups is right and, you know, they hit shots and other teams not playing well or whatever, like you still may win a game or so or two, whatever. But to truly get to where you want to go, you can't do it with squeaky breaks, in my opinion.
Nope.
Nah, you're not going to do it. So that's why I say you enjoy these freshmen for 3 or 4 more games.
Yep.
Max.
Tennessee baseball or basketball is not going to make a run in the postseason. It would surprise me if they do. This season feels exactly like Conzo's last year. It does. It feels like Conzo's last year. A disappointing regular season with not a ton of hope going into the tournament. That's what it feels like to me. And that basketball team proved to put it together in the tournament, squeaking out a win over Iowa in that, what do they call it, the first four or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they got lucky by getting to play
Mercer, who beat Duke.
Yes, but that was the second game. Who'd they play? Who was their first game? They beat
I think they beat some small school.
They did. They beat a small school, and then they got to beat Mercer. And they should have gone to the Elite Eight. They were a horrible call away from going to the Elite Eight. They outplayed Michigan, in my opinion. And just ran into some bad luck at the end of the game. But that's what this season feels like. And a complete disappointment because you have so much talent, firepower, and it has not come together. Just like that regular season of Conzo's last year. And hopefully they can go on a run in March. It is March 1. Hopefully they can go on a run this month and be remembered for better things.
UMass.
Yes, UMass.
Iowa, UMass, Mercer, Michigan.
Because that regular season was incredibly disappointing that year.
Oh, yeah.
But nobody remembers that because they went on the Sweet 16 run.
No, people remember it.
They do, but they talk about the Sweet 16 first.
No, they don't.
Well, I do, and people I know do.
People that continue to say Conzo and stalk Conzo and talk crap about Conzo, if they remember the tournament, which is more important, then they wouldn't be saying what they say about Conzo now. But, like, they remember the regular season more than the tournament. They do.
I've seen the flip side, personally. Yeah. In my life, people I know that are Tennessee fans, we think of it differently. So, my point is, if Tennessee...
Y'all stay in your bubble.
Huh?
So, y'all stay in your little bubble over there then.
Yeah, we will. We'll stay in our bubble of positivity. Sure. I think if Tennessee goes in a run on March, it has the possibility of helping somewhat forget. It will never be forgotten that the regular season was a disappointment, but a run in March sure would help.
It would. It would. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. That is our time for today. For Ben McKee and Jason Swain, Hour 3 is powered by Low T Center and LowTCenter.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining us. Same time tomorrow, 7 a.m. Peace and love. We are out.